Okay, hi everybody. This is Matt Stevens, the guy in the picture with the cat on his lap, and that's Marisa in the webcam, Marisa Constantinides, who is in Mykonos right now, and she's looking forward to getting to the beach, so we don't want to keep her too long from it. She's agreed to meet us here. This is Learning Together, May 26, 2013. And Marisa is a good friend from online, and I actually had the pleasure of meeting her in Istanbul just recently. And so she's actually gave a talk recently at IATEPL on professional development begins at home. And so I don't know where everybody else is. I think it's Phil Cousins must surely be at home. That's because it's late in Macau. Claire is at home because it's very early in Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh.
And, Alessandro is, well, it must be early on a Sunday in Brazil, in Sao Paulo. And Alessandro is in Athens. So, and it's a Sunday, though, so these people must all be at home. So we got a really nice letter from, a message from Maria Colosa. He sent it out on the multiple literacy list that said that after listening to the podcast that Marisa put up, and the podcast may be, and pop it over to the, we're going to see this slideshow, Autonomous Professional Development. Well, actually, I don't know if we're going to see the show or what. We were going to discuss it, but it could be just Marisa and I discussing and everybody else in text chat. But anyway, basically, this is a great topic for Learning Together because we're all at home and we're all engaged in autonomous professional development. And so maybe, I guess, the first question I could ask you, Marisa, how did the audience take it? Because we who meet here on Sunday, and you, of course, you do your Classroom 2.0 seminars, it's sort of second nature to us, isn't it? And all the people who are here, it's pretty obvious that that's what we do. We do professional development constantly, pretty much.
I think that we had two kinds of people in the audience. On the left-hand side, was about 120 people or so, which was great. And on the left-hand side, we had the PLN. We had the people that we actually regularly connect with on Twitter, Facebook, online and webinars, and people like yourself. And they were there en masse, you know, en force. Because they were at the IATEPL, they were there to support us. And these were the people who had experienced that kind of professional development. And on the right-hand side, we had people who we had never met and who were just curious. And so it was a great example of you know, and people could hear actual examples of our colleagues, of our PLN, who had experienced everything that we were saying. So it was really a very strange feeling. On the one hand, we felt we were preaching to the converted, but on the other hand, this caught the imagination and inspired a lot of people who came out of curiosity, and then they joined, you know, Twitter, or we saw them on Facebook. So it was a great experience, that talk. I didn't expect it would turn that way. We thought it would just be new people, and you know, maybe we would get a few people to be interested. But the general response, because of the audience who was there, was great. And of course, we ourselves were a prime example of professional development at home and from home, because Sean and myself, we worked together, and we hardly ever meet. We connect from home, like yourselves, every week.
Yeah, and I'd like to, so someone else who's at home is Nina. She's in Maryland, and just north of Washington, D.C.
Hi, Nina.
And Nina, if you have a microphone, you can say hi back.
Yes, Nina.
So while she's connecting her mic, maybe tell us a little bit about Sean. What does he How did you come to collaborate with him on this presentation?
Sean works, as you see here, Sean works for International House. He's head of the online operations, online courses at International House. And I think it's also that's also a great example of how people who work in a very large organization like Sean can collaborate with people who work in a local context. For a very small organization such as mine, CELT Athens is in an organization, a teacher education center in Greece. It doesn't have the IH international fame, and yet Sean and I collaborate really well. We met on Twitter, and a couple of years ago, we needed to have, you know, we lost a moderator. I don't know if you remember. There was quite a big to-do with the loss of ELT chat and that, which is not our topic. And we needed a moderator. And Jason Renshaw was kind of moving off from ELT. So we needed a moderator. And Sean had been participating very actively and had offered to help maintain our wiki and blog and so on. So he was a good choice because he was someone who was keen to collaborate with us. And then various people left and went on to do other things. And at the moment, it's mainly Sean, myself, and James Taylor, who is also a new friend collaborating with us, co-moderating chats. So we met on Twitter. We met online. We met maybe three or four times in our lives, mainly at IATFO conferences. I think, yeah, and last year we met twice. That was the fourth time we met because ELT Chat was a nominee, a shortlisted nominee for, and ourselves, of course, as moderators, for the annual Eltons Awards for the Innovation in Teacher Resources category. Hi, Nina.
I'm thinking ELT chat. I just put it. Let me see. I just put it in the ELT chat is a Twitter tag, isn't it?
It's a hashtag, yes. And we have weekly conversations. I think possibly most of the people who are here know of this. And yes, Nina Mo. Nina has some Greek. And we have our ELT chats like yourselves. You meet here or you meet on, I don't know, if Etherpad seems like a good idea. I don't know if anybody has written anything on it. We meet up on Twitter, yes. And we have either the same topic for our midday chat. In Greece, it's midday. It's 12 o'clock GMT or BST now and 9 o'clock BST. And sometimes we have the same topic if it's, that's a great one. I never heard that before. Elinina Papamirodia, you know how that means, you know, she's a Greek, she has a Greek fragrance or something. I can't translate it exactly. By osmosis, well, osmosis, it's a Greek word as well, osmosis. She has a Greek aroma, let's say, about her. No, we don't. It's one of those false cognates, you know, they've just changed the meaning of their meaning. So anyway, sometimes we'll have the same topic for first and second chat. If it's a big enough topic, like recently we were talking about the intermediate plateau and generally the concept of plateau. And sometimes we have different topics. We may have something like, you know, new apps for mobile phones on one session and a different topic in the evening session. Is anyone familiar with ELT chat? Has anyone participated? I know Alexandra has, but I don't know if anyone else
pulled
has.
I pulled this Twitter search on the web tour, and of course I guess you can see all the recent traffic there. There's the Eltons, which are soon or have just, did they just happen? I can't recall.
They've just happened. Yeah, we were nominees last year, not this year.
Okay.
We didn't win.
Can you put your blog address somewhere here? Okay. Let's see if we can get.
Yes, for sure.
Alessandra has
for
just
sure.
put the Facebook chat. I'm driving the web tour at the moment. If you can do that, you could put it right into the web tour. Okay, we can't get the Facebook page without logging in, so everybody has to do that. But there's the link, and this is.
Well, you know, we closed the chat phase because of that troll, the famous troll, who was trying to And once you close a Facebook page, you can't open it again for some reason, which is really difficult to understand.
This web tour.
This is my blog. Oh, sorry. This is my personal blog. I need to give you. The ELT chat blog, which is also my blog because, I maintain it with James and...
Well, this is the address of the
Sean.
Podcast. It's a previous recording with the one with Sean. The link is up there now, Autonomous Professional Development Begins at Home, the IPEVL 2013 talk.
Yeah.
There's a slideshow that's synchronized with a... it's a flash that plays the talk, and there's also a podcast of the talk if you want to get the MP3.
Yeah, I did it with Present Me. Actually, James recorded our talk because he does our monthly podcast for ELT Chat where he will interview maybe just a teacher, an ordinary teacher just finding out things about their lives, to share information about our fellow ELT chat participants, or if we've had an important topic, maybe we can interview someone who has written something about the topic, like an author or a presenter. So the podcasts are quite another nice aspect of sharing information. But I think maybe if I could get back to our talk, what fired up people's kind of imagination is what you preach as well. It's not just you practice, you don't just preach it yourselves. And personally, I feel I've learned a lot from your practices as web heads and from your own professional and professional development ethic, which has been exemplary. And it's been something of a model that many of us tried to emulate.
Well, we're learning from one another, believe me.
And, it was... I think what kind of stimulated people and I maybe they responded to that was the fact that we are each other's quality circle. You know, we generate a quality circle. And also the concept of the circle of trust. I think I have the slides here. We don't need to go through them all. You know, the feeling of being stuck and that, and how we need to be inspired. Just a very quick scroll through it. I can't remember which
I
slide
remember
it was.
Hearing,
I've lost them now. Mm-hmm. So maybe they didn't all download.
That's odd. Yeah, maybe they're just slow. Here we go. Work on this.
Yeah. Quality circles was the principles of quality circles. I mean, the concept of quality circles comes from the business world, really, and it's something that we are practicing when we do professional development. In a quality circle, you identify a problem. The group identifies a problem, and they try to find solutions. And they work out in a problem-solving-oriented way. So that was something that people responded to because on ELT Chat, that's what we do. It's we kind of thrash about problems that we have, we discuss them, we look at them this way and that, and people share their experiences. And then I think there's lots of slides here. Some of them are blank. I don't know why.
And your talk is roundtable. You gave a talk on curation, which is very nice. I linked to it.
Yeah, that's a different talk. I think we talked about mentoring people, which was we felt it was an important part of. I don't know. I can't find the slide because they're all out of queue. You know. Yeah. Anyway, maybe I'll find it in a minute. Anyway, we talked about building a circle of trust, and because people have so much exposure to new information now, and it's kind of a flood of information, and you really need to kind of connect with people who maybe become your first filter. There's a group of people you trust, and you listen to what they have to share. You're not just kind of swimming out there all on your own. I'm Greek. I talked about you too much. You asked me some questions.
Let me say one thing about the web tour. That's come on top of the whiteboard. Just move it aside because the web tour is a little bit irritating and illuminate. You have to know you can move it out of the way. You can move all the elements on the screen. You can even expand the text chat if you want. If anybody's having a problem with that, we can help you set your layout. But the other thing is, Marithi, you run a language school, don't you?
I run a teacher education center mainly. Of course, within that, we also run free language classes for adults. And a very small part of our operation is business English, very small groups.
The reason I asked was I was wondering how the teachers or the people who work there, are they, I don't know how many people you have there. You also mentioned the International House, which Sean is affiliated with. That's a big organization. I was just wondering what percentage of people there are actively cultivating their PLNs, the teachers you interact with.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody. I mean, Alexandra is here. She is an active PLN builder. Not every member of my own staff is an active PLN seeker, if you like. Possibly because we have quite a good working relationship as a local PLN amongst ourselves. We have been working together for quite a while. But like any organization, mine is not very different. I try to encourage people. But the percentage is, you know, is the same like any other organization. For example, my colleague who is running the CELTA courses, he's trying to get his trainees to organize as a PLN. So he doesn't do Twitter so much, but he tries to organize our CELTA trainees as their own or each other's PLN. So we deal with this issue in different ways. We don't have very many tutors. We're a very small institution, as I said.
Yeah, as you pointed out in the talk, PLN is something we used to do in the staff room. You know, you could have seven people in your PLN, people that you would meet locally, or you go to conferences, so it's not really, personal learning networks is something we've always cultivated, even if we did it by post back in our younger days. But now the advantages of the ability to scale is so much more, so much more enhanced. And I think it's the scale that, you know, the world, you know, they talk about scarcity and abundance, you know, things become scarce, knowledge is in abundance. And, you know, our ability to even reach people through MOOCs, you know, things like that. I don't know, you said you give free language courses. Do you give them face-to-face, or are they online?
Mainly face-to-face, because we run CELTA, Cambridge CELTA courses, so we use the classes for teaching practice, for observations. We teach those classes as to model practices or to give demonstration lessons for our trainees to observe us or more experienced teachers. We do a little bit of online teaching, and we have been moving towards online training. For example, we are now running our second online diploma course, the Cambridge Diploma, which is a really interesting experience. And I run a small MOOC, like a smoke, with Shelley Terrell and one of the EVOs. We did the, do you remember the digital storytelling, the EVO?
Mm-hmm.
And I've run a few of those. We had like 170, 200 participants working online with us. The year before, I worked with Heike Fils. I co-moderated one of the Machinima EVO, Making Machinimas in Second Life. So I've done those types of courses. I think it's very, very new experiences, and the sheer size of the PLN availability is something that either excites people and they kind of rush headlong into it, or it frightens them.
I want to say hi to Michael Coughlin, who's...
And I've seen both. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, he's in Australia, in Adelaide. It must
Hello.
Be very late for you. I bet Michael has a mic. Let's see if he does. Oops. Sorry, I just turned yours off, Marisa, by accident. I meant to hit mine. You'll have to turn it back on again. Your mic is off, Marisa. Just put it back on again.
Okay, no worries. And can you hear me now? I cannot hear you, Vance.
Yeah, we've...
Oh, there you are. There you are.
I could set this for three mics. Why not? We'll see. I'm sure Michael would wear a headset. So I'll just set three mics so that we don't have this problem. I'm just doing some bad button pressing. Anyway, Michael, would you like to say something? Michael usually does. And I want to catch him before he has to go to bed.
Okay.
Hello, Vance and Marisa and everybody. Thanks for
Hi.
Inviting me in, Vance. I'll just sit back and try and catch up to where we are.
Well, we're talking about a topic very dear to your heart, and that's basically our personal learning networks. And Marisa has a lot of irons in the fire. We were talking about her EVO experiences and her Second Life experiences. I was about to ask her about Classroom 2.0, which she's also very active in. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
We started, as I was saying, we started recently kind of moving online. I think maybe for me, it's very interesting to observe, because I know many institutions have been active online for a very long time. But as a trainer, I'm looking at our own kind of new endeavors into the online world. And it's an interesting thing to observe, because ultimately, I also need to talk to people or schools that are afraid to move online, and you know, they're thinking, how can I do this? And we're experimenting ourselves at the same time. So we're now running two or three courses, separate courses on Moodle. One's with Nick Peachy. He's running an ICT for ELT course for us, which is it's the first one. We've launched it this year. And it's our second course. We're running an ELT management course with Andy Hockley for people who are either just running language teaching operations and they need to know a little bit more about it, or for people who are taking that as part of their diploma studies, and they need to write some kind of assignment on language teaching operations. And we're working with webinars like yourselves. We're running our second diploma online, Cambridge Diploma Online. And it's a learning experience, learning to connect better, learning to collaborate better, learning about things. I think that most of you here, like yourself and Nina, I don't know everybody else, but certainly I think Alessandra, that I know a little bit about, you probably know a lot more about it than we do. So we're learning as we go along. I think the main thing is to remember that the pedagogy has to be sound, and we're kind of trying to put that together, to keep that together. And then sometimes we make mistakes, but we're learning something from those mistakes. What's happened there? I think I missed that conversation.
Oh, you're looking at the text chat? I'm looking for questions there. I haven't seen any. They're wishing Michael a happy birthday. But if anybody does have questions.
Well, I haven't stopped talking, that's why.
Well, I've been kind of looking at the text chat. But that's interesting, working with Nick Peachy. I suppose he probably helps put pedagogy with, he generally is very practical in his technical suggestions. What sort of things has he suggested?
Yes, this is very, very good. Alexandra is following that course. I'm not following it. I'm just moderating it and building and I have the overall responsibility for the trainees. But Alexandra Cook, she's actually one of the people who are following the course. So maybe Alexandra could write something. But, from what I've read, it's not just the technology that he's looking at. And he's, whatever he presents, and that's really why I really like working with him. It's backed up by criteria for evaluating it, for making teachers think about choosing in an informed way, not just, this is a really exciting new tool. Let's all fall headlong into it without any thinking. So he's great about that.
Yeah, I'm using today's meet with my students today. And
hello.
That's one I got from Nick at the APLANET conference, actually. I think I'd heard about it before, but then he brought it out at the conference and had everybody feedback on his presentation. So it was a good reminder. Alessandra says she was doing her Delta Module 1 when we started offering webinars about the specialties for Module 3, and that was really helpful. Her school never integrated with students like that. What does she mean by that?
When you start offering about the specialism for module 3, that was really helpful. I'm not sure what you mean, Alessandra. Maybe they didn't offer separate specialisms for, or maybe they didn't kind of go online to connect with people. I think maybe that's the message that I'm getting. Yeah. Yeah, I remember offering those webinars free.
Tell us a go ahead.
Have you finished your Delta?
Okay, she said it's really
great.
New, especially considering Delta.
Okay.
And she's delivering her essay tomorrow. So that's Alessandra in Sao Paulo. Oh, I was going to ask you, especially since I met Nick for the first time at the APLANET conference, and of course you were there, part of the project. What can you tell us about that? I didn't really participate in it. I just went to the conference, I really liked what I saw about it. It was materials to train teachers in technology, basically. You tell us about it.
Yes, I think, I mean, the project is now complete in the sense that we have produced all the materials that we planned to create in order to help particularly teachers who are not connected. And Alexandra, who also worked in my institution as a member of our team on this project, she's just put out the web address. I don't know if you put out the name or the website. So we had two points of contact. We had the A-Planet website where all the output that we generated has now been uploaded, and it's translated into nine languages. The other thing is we had a Ning, and the Ning is still very active, in which people, there's more than 1,200 educators registered in that Ning. And that's the place where we connected and where we tried to pair people off, new teachers with mentors and mentees. And our job was to train the mentors and show them how they could help mentees, and also to generate some useful documents, some useful information database, if you like, for people who needed to train people in the use of social networking and creating and maintaining their own PLN, how to use some important social networks. We did create three web quests. One for Twitter, which is free for anyone to use. And I don't know if you'd like me to share the link. We created a web quest for Facebook as a professional development social networking tool, and one for Nings, although we realize that Nings maybe are paying, you know, you need to pay to get into a Ning. However, what you learn about that is also applicable to other kind of social groups like that. For example, ELG and Mixed and so on. So this is the first link that Alexandra has put out there, the Twitter web quest. The web quest links back to the Ning. We may need to kind of disassociate it from the Ning eventually. People might need to kind of use it on their own. But it would be lovely if you could kind of share it with other people, and maybe we could get some feedback. I don't know. So there are different things that we produce.
Yeah, the one that I had up just a moment ago. Has the resources that people can download. Is that correct? This A-Planet project resources. It says ICT tools.
It kind of got a lot of people involved in mentoring, because
that's where people can actually get those resources.
We made sure we used our existing PLN, and particularly the PLN from Twitter, to mentor new teachers and show them how they could guide new colleagues or draw new colleagues into developing their own, you know, learning about tools and connecting through these social networking tools. There's a really great...
Yeah, there's quite a lot of interesting resources.
You know, there's a vast amount of output out there that we produce. Sometimes I look through it, and so I'm just amazed at what we produce, and it's all translated into nine languages and everything. So it's great. It's not. Unfortunately, we didn't. You know, it's a European project, so it's not in Arabic. We could. It would be nice if it was, you know, in other languages as well. Maybe someone else can undertake to translate the materials and disseminate further. Thank you for putting out all those links, Alexander. You've been really great.
Yeah, there was if you went to the conference, you got a CD with all that stuff on it. But I do know it's all online, and it's all free and worth downloading and having a look at. It was quite good. I was very impressed. So, does anyone else have any questions? It would be nice to get voices for reading questions as they come into the chat. So as you can see, Marisa does quite a lot of interesting projects. Tell us about something I haven't mentioned. I've asked you about the ones I know about. Your training school for teachers and A Planet and Classroom 2.0, which has weekly seminars. Maybe we can have a URL for that. Nina has a question about ELT chat. Okay, Nina, is your mic working? Yeah, your mic, it does have a little, Marisa says she's losing her mic, and it's got a little funny icon next to it. I'm not really sure what that is. Let me take it out and put it back in again. Okay, nope, still got the icon is still there. I'm not sure what that means. Maybe there is a problem with your local, maybe that's telling us there's a problem with your local connection. Nina has gone italic, so that means she's doing an audio check herself. Yeah, I suppose, or you could try, I wonder if Nina's having a problem too. What about you, Michael? Can you talk? Is your mic working?
Can you hear me now?
I think my mic's working, and your audio is absolutely clear. Claire has written the same thing, so I haven't lost you at all, Marisa. It's loud and clear and constant.
Okay.
I just reconfigured the mic. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear Nina.
This is Nina. Marisa, can you hear me?
I can't hear Marisa.
She seems frozen on my screen. She's not moving anymore.
Uh-huh.
Marisa, are you dead?
Maybe we could...
Black screen.
Let's kill the... She's just gone off. I think she's gone off to come back again.
Okay.
I'll cut the video window, and unless anybody else wants to put up a video. Would you like to put yours up, Michael? Or Nina? You're more than welcome to broadcast.
She's coming back in, I think. Here she comes. Hi, Marisa. No, still frozen.
Yeah, we're kind of getting suggestions that maybe we should kill the video because that could be causing a problem. Let me come back over to, if I can find the Illuminate window, I can come back to the, here it is. We have a, oof, goodness, I've got too many windows and they're all getting in the way.
I'll get out of the audio chat until this is all resolved.
There we go. Okay, so I'll cut the video. There's the video there, so we can bring it back a little bit if things seem to be working okay. Okay, so Nina, you had a question.
Is Marisa there? Can she hear me? I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. Says she's just joined.
Maybe she's popped out and back again.
It's really a dumb question, so maybe somebody else can answer it. I know the ELT Twitter chat takes place on Wednesday, so my easy question is, what time is it? And my more hard-to-answer question is, how does this work? As some of you may know, I am not much on Twitter, and I'm just trying to imagine how you could actually have a conversation on Twitter. I mean, say comparing it to something like this or a Google Hangout where you have a group of people in a cyber place. Maybe you can see each other, maybe you can't. And you can ask questions either by audio or by in the text chat. Well, how does the ELT chat work on Twitter, because I can't imagine what it's like. And I know you're going to tell me I should just go and try. But anyway, can anybody answer that question?
Marisa, sounds like one for you. Are you there? Oh, goodness. Marisa seems to have seriously lost audio. Well, okay, I can tell you what I imagine. Maybe, Marisa, you can confirm or...
I think she can't hear. I'm going to write my question in the text chat as you can, as you talk.
Okay. Well, I would think that in Twitter, it's asynchronous. And somewhere here in all my windows, I've got a search here. It might be here. Here it is. Here's a search on ELT chat. Let me put that in the web tour. So this is ELT chat. So you can see what the conversation looks like. So I hope you can see that. So you can see what people are kind of talking about. So I don't know if we can find examples in there of people getting help. But basically, the conversation goes like that. So if you tag something ELT chat, then it should come up in the stream. So since I don't actually use it, although I probably should, I don't know, does anybody here use it and can tell us more about how the conversation goes? Yeah, Claire is suggesting do a search for the hashtag. I did. Did I hear? I'll put that URL in the. That's the search on the hashtag, ELT chat, and I'm not sure if that's a, if that's different from hashtag ELT chat. Oh, okay. Hashtag ELT chat. Maybe a little bit different. Okay, so there's the hashtag ELT chat. So, let's see. Alexandra is raising a hand. What does that mean? Would you like to speak to us? You just follow the ELT chat stream of messages, and this should be the ELT chat stream of messages, which is the twitter.com/hashtag/ELT chat. So I just put that in the search box. It looks like Marisa has dropped out. I hope she's dropped out to go to the beach. She was showing us earlier this beautiful view of Mykonos behind her window. She has a hotel right on the beach. And I don't really want to keep her because it's been a very nice day out. It's still sunny. Must be about almost 4 o'clock in Mykonos. And she has a friend she's meeting there, she's met there. So maybe we should let her go and not interfere with her day at the beach. So if you had been with us earlier, you would see what I was talking about. Any other comments or questions that we'd like to raise? Oh. ELT chat. What time? Nina says, what time is ELT chat on Twitter? I don't know. Does anybody know? Can anybody put that information? It's on Wednesdays. There is a, I believe that's a synchronous chat. Of course, you could probably ask, if you ask on Twitter, what time is the ELT text chat? Maybe we can try that now and see if Twitter is working really well. I'll just go back to my homepage and see if we can get that answer. Anybody want to talk while I'm typing? Twice on Wednesdays. 12 noon, okay. 2 p.m. and 11 p.m. Greek times, okay. So Greek times are probably...
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You're back.
Great. I'm very sorry. I'm back. It was... All hell was breaking loose on the other... browser, and I just got out and came back again. I really apologize.
No problem.
So you were asked about how we do conversations.
Yeah.
Oh, you replied to the questions. Great.
Well, no, you go ahead, because I didn't really have a first-hand reply. So, and people are also asking, I believe there's synchronous, it looks like we're working out that there are synchronous chats at 2 p.m. and 11
yes,
p.m.
Yeah.
Greek time on Wednesdays. And these are synchronous?
It's really 12 p.m. At the moment it's BST, British Summer Time. And the first one, and the other one is 21, I don't know, p.m. again, BST. Usually we have a different topic. Sometimes when we have a really big topic, we do the same chat both times, and then we write one big summary. But normally we have two different topics, one for the first chat, one for the late chat. And it's synchronous, and anything between 20 and 50 or 80, I mean, it depends how many teachers are online, can be talking to each other at the same time. So it's not like here where, you know, sometimes it's a small, more intimate group, but if 8 people or 60 people or 30 people are all writing something at the same time, it can sound a little bit frantic. So there are many different sub-conversations. People get into two or three kind of threads at the same time. That's why it's a good idea to have more than one moderator, because if I'm looking at my tweet deck, I usually don't catch everything. Claire, yes, I remember who you are now. I see. I remember you on ELT chat, and now I remember your photograph as well. So you haven't been on ELT chat for a long time, have you? Yeah, you used to call me quite a lot. Come back.
I can see where Alexandra Kukumialu has posted, retweeted the start of this start of the session on the ELT chat, which I haven't done. I haven't included that tag, so that's good. She's included it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. So if what we ask people to do is to create, you know, on TweetDeck, either follow on TweetDeck, and then, you know, you search for the ELT chat hashtag and you kind of save a column for that. Or there's an online tweetchat.com where you can just follow that thread. And we have a lot of people also who join the chat and don't really participate, but and, you know, the kind of learning from lurking or from just following it. And what happens is have a great time, Alessandra. Write a really cracking good essay. Wish you the best of results. Great. Good to see you. And, you know, eventually they begin putting in a little comment here or retweeting something, and you know, soon enough people kind of begin to participate and offer their ideas and share links or whatever. It's not all about links, it's just also about, yeah, exactly. We don't really know how many people lurk, Claire, in actual fact. I mean, if you think about it, our ELT chat group on Facebook has more than, it's about 800 people. Yeah, and so many of them. No, these are actual conversations, Nina, on ELT chat, and some of them may produce links because people have seen something that answers the question quite well. Maybe it's a blog post or it's a tool or something.
I like the links on Twitter. Seems that's what I kind of get out of it. I hit a few links over coffee in the morning, and that kind of makes my day until something bad happens.
Yeah. Me too. I quite like browsing through links and I always find something new, something, I learn something new from Twitter.
And Claire's.
I think there's these monologues. There are two different kinds of things. There's monologues of people coming out and tweeting something new they've learned through a link or they posted. And then you have these discussions, which are more like conversations. And people actually express opinions or principles or criteria. These are sometimes backed by links. Absolutely, Claire.
Yeah, that, I get that too. Claire said that the quality of one's Twitter experience depends on whom you follow, and it's the same with Facebook. If you have a lot of people in your network on Facebook, let's say, or Google Plus, then you know, you sort of avoid the ones that are talking about Farmville, and it's a really quality
yeah.
experience.
Well, I think for many people who follow the Twitter hashtags like ELT Chat, and now there are more, if you look through our presentation, we've listed other ELT Chats that were offspring of ELT Chat. Now, this the Australian ELT Chat, hashtag AUSELT. There's EAP Chat. And people are talking about English for academic purposes and a couple of others as well. What was that, Nina? You don't understand how to follow a hashtag. Well, how you do it is in your search box on ELT Chat on Twitter, you type the hashtag you want to follow. Let's say you want to follow ELT Chat. And then you save the search. If you're working on the browser, you're saving the search will just display all the tweets that contain this hashtag. So this means that you can read tweets even by people you are not following. You save the search either on your browser or on TweetDeck. On TweetDeck, TweetDeck asks you if you want to create a new column, that I think you can do that on Hootsuite as well. And on tweetchat.com, if you go to tweetchat.com, then there's a search box in there, and it's a place where you can look for hashtag conversations. If you type ELT, not hat, if you type ELT chat in there, yeah, then you just see, but do it now and you will see, if you type ELT chat, it will load all the tweets from ELT chat. Whatever anyone's tweeted about it.
Yeah, that's nice. That's right there in the web tour. I hope the web tour is coming through for everybody. If not, I'm putting the links we're hitting in the text chat. Let's see. Do you see the link I put in, Nina? If you click on that link, that will take you to the direct URL for tweetchat.com/room/ELTchat. And it does give you a slightly different view.
Yeah, if you save that, at any point you can see what people are tweeting about on ELT
mm-hmm.
chat.
That's right.
And people are tweeting quite a lot outside formal. Well, save it as a bookmark, possibly, to go back to. No, you're
save
not.
Save it in Delicious or Digo?
Shall I repeat how you... Yeah. Do you want me to repeat how to follow it on TweetDeck, Nina? Okay. So you can... I think that link then is fine.
Yeah, we learn a lot from Nina, and every now and then she learns something from us. Nina's taken on the head of the next Electronic Village online sessions. And that's amazing. That's quite a task.
Wow.
She's the coordinator next year.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it is. Wow. Congratulations, Nina.
Yeah, congratulations, Nensus.
So what's this web tour?
Do you see the web tour?
I don't see anything that's visible to me, but I noticed that every time you put a link on the text chat, it just automatically opens a new browser window for me.
Yes. Sometimes it depends.
That's what's happening.
It depends
here.
On the browser you're using. It's supposed to open a pop-up window to give you, and it has a click in there for a tour guide. And
June 1st.
If you have the pop-up.
She's just sent me into a panic, Nina.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah.
No, I got it. So no, don't worry.
Is that VBO session?
She just sent a proposal. It's coming up on June 1st. Yeah.
That's for EBO sessions? Proposals on June 1st? You want to tell us about that, Nina?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, sure. Not the deadline. We're just working on the call for proposals. And I think the deadline is September 22nd.
Oh.
You have lots of time to think about it.
What's the June 1st? What happens on June 1st?
We were going to public. The call for proposals will go public.
The call for proposals goes out on June 1st.
Yes.
Yes. No panic, Marisa.
That's what I said. Oh, I said coming out too. Yeah. Call for proposals coming out June 1st. Right.
Oh, all right. I worked with Shelley last year in the last one on the digital storytelling EVO.
Uh-huh. Okay, good. I'll come back to it again. Now, let me...
But I will do it again.
Thing. Yeah, sure. Was it fun?
It was great.
There you go.
In the middle of it,
calendar.
We lost phosphorus.
Yes.
We saved the blog.
Don't remind me. All right.
Terrible.
Here are some dates for Electronic Village Online. The call for proposals coming out around June 1st or 2nd, that first week in June. The proposals need to be completed by September 22nd. Moderators training will be October 21st through November 17th. You have to finish the syllabus by November 30th. That's the hard deadline because the call for participation goes out December 13th. Registration January 6th to 12th, 2014. The sessions January 13th to February 16th, 2014. So I hope you all have that on your calendars and we'll...
I'm sure we can stick a link in there, I'm sure. But there's something you said the call for proposals comes out in June, and when are the proposals due?
September 22nd.
September 22nd. Oh, it's
so
in December. Okay.
The call for proposals is in the form of a Google form. So you can start filling it out. You know, just put something like A, B, C, D, E, F, G. If you're not ready to answer it, put something, and then you can keep revising it over the summer until the 22nd of December.
Mm.
Okay, and I just put the link for evosessions.pbworks.com, and that's where you'll look for more information about
right.
that.
Right.
Notice, sure it'll be updated
watch
in June.
This space mm-hmm. for information. This is the call for participation that Vance has up there. And Vance, you have links to the call for proposals, but it's not finalized yet, so maybe don't share that.
This is for the last year's, this is for the 2013 up there now, but 2014, Right, be,
but this is not the call for proposals that you're showing. It's the call for participation.
Okay. Well, this is last year's
right.
call. For,
right. The call for proposals is a Google form, as I said. And
but
Marisa,
it's linked up here, right?
We will send one to you, and if you would please publicize it on your networks.
Absolutely.
When it comes out. And we hope that we'll
a
see
pleasure.
You back as a moderator.
Maybe
and
it would be good to do maybe it would be a good idea to offer something. Not particularly ELT chat, but just to I think though it's what you do in webheads, how to connect in social networks, right? Being a webhead.
Mhm. There is a session called
I was thinking more something in line. Yeah, I was thinking more something in line with what we did on our A Planet project, helping people who are not on social networks. Learn how to do because we've got so much stuff out there online now, but it could be used by people. Maybe it's a thought.
That's an excellent
idea.
I'm not
sure what the thought is.
Has to do with something similar to what you did with A-Planet and try to get people more accustomed to social networks and PLNs to that.
You mean offering a session like that?
Yeah, it needs a little bit of thinking through, Nina, how it would be expressed
as
a proposal.
That's a great idea. Now, I thought you were talking about how we could disseminate the information. No, but you're talking about a session. Wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, since I'm not familiar with the A-Planet thing, it was not immediately clear.
And some of the documentation, the guides, the mentoring guides, and that we have already created, they could be used if we did a session. I'm sure maybe other people would be interested, maybe who were part of that project to collaborate. Well, we'll talk about it, and yeah.
Wonderful.
Some of that stuff is out there.
Wonderful. It's amazing.
I mean, Alexandra was working with... Yes?
It's amazing how many people give of their time and expertise in all of these professional development things, platforms, whatever, groups, PLN, and the Electronic Village Online.
Yeah.
Which goes to show that we don't work for money. We work because our work is meaningful, which is what I just learned in a MOOC that I took. I mean, we do work for money, but it's not the main motivator.
I think we do work for money as well.
Well, we have to.
I think
we
do work for
money
as well because we have to, absolutely. But I think the concept, I mean, you know the Greek kind of, you know, you're married to a Greek, maybe you come to Greece, you know how people think here locally. And I'm sure it's true in other locales as well, where there's a kind of fear or complacency or whatever, that I think in some way everyone in this room and a lot of people outside this room that I know are trying to break. And we're trying to tell people that you cannot only be on the receiving end of things. You've got to go out and share yourself. So you've got to give something back to learn something. And it's something that I would assume it's part of our professional ethic. Only it isn't. Maybe we need to teach people that professional ethic. I don't know. Is that too much?
Good night, Michael. Nice to see you.
But the sharing ethos.
I think that's what makes Webhead special, and there are other communities out there like yours that are similar. And
We learned a lot from you, Nina. We've learned a lot from you.
Well,
You were a prime you were a prime model.
Me?
A professional ethos. What the web heads, you know, because I did follow that course a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
You were a prime example, and you know, it's something that a lot of groups model themselves after. So it's great to be out there and to have people like yourself and Vance.
I'm trying to give back now by serving on the coordinating team, and it's a pretty steep learning curve. So I'm continuing to learn all the time as I try to do that. And people like Vance are helping. Thank you.
We're all helping one another.
Correct. Some of us need a little more help than others.
Well, Marisa, keep an eye out your window. We don't want the sun to go down out there.
Great.
So let us know if we need to release you.
What time is it in Greece now, Marisa?
Oh, no. It's still quite high.
Maybe you should give us a webcam
again. It's 5. It's just past 5 o'clock.
And you're in Mykonos?
Sun's quite high. There's still time for
me. Are you in Mykonos?
Yeah, you want to see my
but
window?
I don't have my
yes.
Yeah, sure.
Video anymore because Vance turned it off. Vance, turn it on again.
Yeah, Marisa will turn it on.
Okay.
I turned it off because I thought that might be the source of Marisa's audio problems, or our audio problems in hearing her.
We see you
sometimes
now.
That is the case.
Yeah, you want to see my window.
Yeah, we want to see your view.
This is not eat your heart out time, but you know, this is where I am.
Oh, how lovely. On AFA.
Excellent fair. Via fair.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I can't take it more out because it's sunny.
So you're on vacation now.
So that's where I'm going after. No, it's just a brief interlude between courses and stuff. And it's just a side. I've just come out here to see a friend who's out here from Florida, and who knows if I'll see her again. So it was just to see a very old friend who's here for a bit. And it's not a bad interlude. It's not a bad little couple of days. It's great.
Have a wonderful time.
Yeah.
So let me switch off that video because it might be chewing.
Oh, well, Nina, you can transmit yours.
I don't know how to turn
put
mine
you on.
On
the white button. Just click on the transmit button. You see the transmit button there? That should put your video in.
Nothing very interesting to see, I'm afraid. Well, I'll show you the view out my window. How's that? I don't know if I can pick this up. Mm-hmm. You can see into my backyard, which is all woods and trees and leaves right now, and sunny day, yes.
Great.
I've started a new blog, Nina's Nature Diary. Every time I go for a walk, which is like pretty much every day, take some pictures and share them on the blog. I'm having lots of fun, and it has nothing to do with ELT.
Have you, Nina, have you seen any of those old Victorian ladies' nature diaries where they used to draw the flowers?
Yes.
Or the plants?
Yes, I'm totally
aren't they
incapable
absolutely
of doing
wonderful?
That.
Wonderful.
Yes, they are. The neat thing about this is that people start to follow me that have similar blogs, but they're much, much better. They have better cameras than I do. So I really enjoy that.
That's great.
Well, maybe I should switch off the recording.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've deteriorated out of learning together to just chatting together.
Find it. Let's see.
Yeah, I read Clay Shirky's Cognitive Surplus last summer, I think, and really enjoyed it. I like Clay Shirky.
Yeah, I do too. I think he writes some great books.
Mm-hmm.
Here Comes Everybody.
Yeah, I like that one too. I think I've just read those two. Has he written others?
Nope. I'm not sure what he's done, but I've got a credit on audiobooks, so maybe I'll check and see if any are listed. I can read some more. I've been reading some Daniel Pink lately, or I should say listening to Daniel Pink. It's kind of interesting,
Daniel
too.
Pink? P-I-N-K Pink?
Yeah.
What does he write about?
Yeah, he writes about motivation or the whole new mind, the left brain, right brain, the idea that left brain skills are things that you can program. Therefore, right-brained people will soon rule the world because they'll put the humanity back into the quality that people will pay for. Whereas left-brained people or left-brained processes are being pretty much taken over by machines.
Optimistic.
If Ray Kurzweil is right, when we reach singularity, then those people will be out of a job, I suppose.
Well, that would be me, because I'm very left-brained. So I've read that this whole business about being right-brained or left-brained is kind of not true, that everybody uses both sides of their brains unless their corpus callosum has been cut.
Overrated
well,
a bit?
Yeah.
Certainly you do. I mean, you know, you can be very good we'll say programmers would be left, right brain, but you have good empathetic skills as well, Nina, so you obviously have a bit of left brain going for you there.
left brain, yeah. I'm very linear. You know, I'm one of those people that gets slightly nauseated by a Prezi, and mind mapping is never the way I would plan anything.
Mm. Oh, well, okay. Well, let me do an outro here. This has been Learning Together for Sunday, May 26th. And we're all starting to feel very guilty about keeping Marisa from her beach outside her window in Mykonos. It's really nice of you to talk about cognitive surplus, you know, to have that much cognitive surplus to join us and share with us all the interesting things that you do. And talking about our PLN and how the PLNs interact and interrelate. And it's been a really nice meeting of the PLNs. It's very kind of you to come online and share with us, as usual. And as Maria
Well, thank you
said
very
in her,
much.
In her post, you practice what you preach. You know, we all do, I think. So, yeah.
That was a lovely comment, and thank you for sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a talk we put together online with Sean. We tweeted DMs about it. We used Google Documents. We emailed each other. It's a prime example of something that can come out of good collaboration. And I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
Thank you very much,
Marisa. Yeah, well, thank you. And so the way this works, when people leave the room, we'll have a recording. And I'll tweet it, and I'll put it up at learningtogether.pbworks.com. And within a day or two, once I get the MP3, I'll put it over to learningtogether.net, which is our WordPress blog. This is where we fled to once Postgres collapsed. And it's all back together again. All the pieces are back in place, even better than before. Whew, that took me all of April. Anyway, well, thanks very much, and we'll close down the recording.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.